Today, we're starting the book of Proverbs. And wow. I was a little nervous about Proverbs. I've never taught through Proverbs before. As I shared with you before, I think when I was talking about it, that we did go through the book of Proverbs with our kids when they were growing up. We have four sons, and this book is actually written to Solomon's son and reaches through the ages to all sons and daughters to take heed to these things. And so I learned to love it then, and we, on our men's prayer meeting every Thursday night, we, whatever date it is, that's the proverb we read. So Proverbs is rich. But as I began to study, I got so powerfully blessed, and just want to pass that blessing on as we just look at it word by word. Now, the Proverbs was written in 950 BC, 950 years before Jesus was born. The Proverbs were written by King Solomon, King David's son Solomon. And all but two were written by him. Proverbs 30 was written by somebody called Agur, A-G-U-R, and we don't know anything about him. And then Proverbs 31, maybe one of the most famous proverbs, is the virtuous woman proverb, talks about what a virtuous woman is like. And Proverbs 31 was written by a king, but not King Solomon, King Lamiel, and we don't know any more about him, but that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction. And so these two brothers wrote the last two Proverbs. But King Solomon, as you know, was known as the wisest man that ever lived. And this is what the Bible says about him, and except for Jesus Christ, of course. When Jesus came, he said, "A greater than Solomon is here." And we would all agree, because Jesus is God himself. And so, but Solomon had such great wisdom from the Lord, and he shares it in this book with us. Now, again, to let you know that he did write it to his son, and let's check out that scripture. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says this, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother." Isn't that a beautiful verse? My heart was warmed when I read that. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Forsake not the law of your mother. Moms just know the right rules for their kids. They are anointed of God to just understand this child needs this, this child needs that. Moms are wonderful at making the law that should go in the house, of course, under the headship of the dad, loving mom, loving kids. Best thing a man can do for his children is love their mother. Did you ever hear that one? That's a good one. Best thing a man can do for his children is love their mother. Boy, kids love that, to see that in the house. And so this instruction then that Solomon brings. Now, there's a lot of subjects covered in Proverbs. And this can show us, as I read this list to you, that one brother took the time to put down the different subjects in Proverbs would apply to everyday living for us. We want to know how to live, don't we? God, show us how to live. And this book is invaluable for learning those lessons. The subjects covered, and he probably didn't get them all, but let me list: sin, wealth, friends, idleness, poverty, the family, vengeance, humility, justice, and pride. These are all subjects included as we go through the book of Proverbs. So with that, let's go ahead and read the first five verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, or fairness, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Now, as we see here, we're actually first given, and this is the first seven verses, we'll read six and seven also, of the first chapter of Proverbs, is given to give us the purpose of Proverbs. And so right away we're getting definitions, the purpose of Proverbs. So let's begin by going back to verse 2 here. We're just going to do the first 7 verses today. And it says to know wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is the top dog. As we read through Proverbs, you'll understand and see again and again, with all you're getting, get wisdom. Wisdom is the thing. That's what you want. Let's look at chapter 4 and verse 7 on this. Just keep your hand in chapter 1. Just turn over a couple of pages to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. And we're given this right in the scripture about wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. To understand wisdom. Now also, we have chapter 8, verse 11 on this topic. Just turn a couple more pages over. Chapter 8, verse 11. It says this. Wisdom is better than rubies. Did you know that rubies are more expensive than gold? Oh, yeah. Rubies are rubies. And all of the stars, I think, wear rubies. I always remember that commercial with Elizabeth Taylor in it, advertising rubies. But anyway, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired, everything that can be desired, are not to be compared to wisdom. Wisdom is what you want. You want to be after that. Now, if you look up the definition of wisdom in Noah Webster's dictionary, the original, because it's been revised to be politically correct. So in today's version of Webster's dictionary, you won't find this definition because of the political correctness and kind of a move away from the Lord in our society. But over at Garden Grove Library, and I'm not sure it's still there, but I was over there studying one day and I looked up wisdom in the original Noah Webster's dictionary. And it said, number one, that which comes from God. And that is the true definition of wisdom. That which comes from God. And so we want to know how rich and how beautiful wisdom is, the getting of wisdom. Now, let's go back to chapter 1, verse 2, and it says to know wisdom and instruction. What is instruction? Wisdom is developed through the instruction of God. Wisdom is developed through the instruction of God. Look at chapter 2, verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And so it does come from the Lord, that which comes from the Lord. Actually, wisdom then is developed through the instruction of the Lord. And you know, as the Lord instructs us, it's amazing what can happen in everyday living with the instruction of God. We have a verse that we love in the New Testament, and we quote it a lot to each other as Christians, and that is James 1:5, where it says that if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask, and God will give it to you liberally, without judgment. If you begin to think, you know, I don't deserve wisdom from God, I just don't deserve it. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, there's no way that I'll cast him out. And that's why James 1:5 can say that if you take time to go to God with your problem and you ask for wisdom in the name of Jesus, believing on Him and ready to just give up your sin for Him, man, He is going to show you what to do. Old King Jehoshaphat, I always loved to quote that too in the Old Testament. He says, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. And Jesus will give you the wisdom that you need to go on. And so wisdom does come from God. The instruction comes from Him to actually arrive at wisdom. Now, the word understanding, that's the third word in verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction to perceive the words of understanding. And we see it also in verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Now, understanding is actually what God gives while he's instructing. He begins to instruct you, and he actually gives you then understanding. And that's the only place understanding can come from, to finally get you to arrive at wisdom. Now, this is talked about in a very beautiful example after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to turn there with you, because it can bring the cookies from the top shelf to the bottom where we can reach them to understand, okay? That's what Pastor Chuck always says at pastors' conferences. Mark, and well, he's speaking to me, of course, and all the pastors, he says, you need to get the cookies of the knowledge of God off the top shelf and put it on the bottom where the people can reach them. And I just think that wisdom is very instructive. Well, let's go ahead and turn to Luke 24:44, and this just helps us to reach a little closer to making good definition of wisdom. Luke 24:44. Luke 24:44. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. The disciples had a hard time figuring out Jesus' death and resurrection for the longest time. And it must have seemed like an eternity to Jesus, because when the women came to tell the disciples that Jesus had rose from the dead, and the women actually saw him alive, they said, can't be. And they didn't believe. And so it must have been a little frustrating for Jesus, because when he finally appeared to them, he rebuked them. He reproved them for their unbelief. And so their heads were kind of spinning over all of this. And Jesus then begins to speak lovingly to them about the Old Testament and about all these things were prophesied. There's 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that prophesied exactly what Jesus would do when he came. And so let's read what Jesus says to the disciples after the resurrection. He said to them, verse 44 of Luke 24, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So neat that Sherry's going to do this study, Jesus in Genesis, because yes, Jesus was in the law, and Genesis is part of the Jewish law, and everywhere in the Bible. And then in verse 45 is what we want to get to. It says this, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So where does understanding come from? And what does God use understanding for? Is to actually attain to wise counsels, to move up the ladder in wisdom. We can't do it without him. He said, without me, you can do nothing. That would include understand. So every time you open the Bible, and when you come to church, all of us should be praying, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, would you open my understanding to understand the scriptures? Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Because if we do it on our own, it just doesn't get there. You can take a college course on the Bible's literature, but let me tell you, so many of my friends, and I know you, would be disappointed as a believing Christian to just see the Bible as literature. It is good literature. It's poetry. It's poetic. The King James translation is very poetic, but it just doesn't get it for spiritual life. And the Lord wants to open our understanding, to understand the scriptures. And so, again, giving you that definition of understanding, it's what God gives while he's instructing you. He's teaching you and bringing you to an understanding so that you can become a wise man or woman. Anybody here want to become a wise man or woman? Oh, yeah. All right. That's great. Well, let's go back to Proverbs and chapter 1. And now we want to get into verse 3 and 4. And we're going to see a whole lot of words now in verses 3 and 4. We don't want to lose the simplicity of the definition of wisdom itself. So before we read those other words, let me say this. From chapter 2, verse 6, and from verse 4, we read the word knowledge. Knowledge is the bottom dog. Wisdom is the top dog. And I just want to give you the three words. We've already discussed wisdom and understanding. We want to look at knowledge and just give you a simple definition. Knowledge is knowing things, and it's so great to know things. And there's many things to know in the earth. Wisdom is applying knowledge correctly. And how do we do that? Through the instruction of the Lord to a place of understanding. And then we come to wisdom, to be a wise man or woman. So, simple definition. Knowledge is worked on, the knowledge that you have. There's many, really, lots of people that know a lot of things, PhDs in different areas of science and all kinds of things. But wisdom is arrived to when true understanding comes. And there's a real example of that. On Wednesday night, we showed a little bit of the film that Sherry's going to show first at Joyful Life. It's called The Privileged Planet. And it actually takes you step by step by scientists, nuclear scientists, and scientists from many fields working for NASA and others that know the Lord and have attained this wisdom. And they show how the cosmos really points to a designer. There's no way the cosmos doesn't have a designer. That's wisdom. So there are those that can know all about the stars and the galaxies and the nebula and look through the Hubble telescope and all those things. But to move on into understanding that there's a designer, yeah, you need the Lord. You need His Spirit. You need faith in Him and humility before Him. And then that brings you to the place of wisdom. And so God is the author of all of these things. Now, it says to receive instruction and wisdom in verse 3, and then it mentions these other words, justice, judgment, equity, which means to be fair, to give subtly to the simple. In other words, with a kind of discretion, you want to work with the simple that don't know things that you need to teach them in the wisdom of God. To give subtly to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And there's that word discretion, which means to be discreet, of course, to actually be sensitive in your teaching with the goal of love. The goal of our instruction is love. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. The goal of our instruction is love. And in the King James translation, they use the word charity, which means love. And so the goal of our instruction is charity, it's love. And so to be discreet. Now all of these words, justice, judgment, equity, or a sense of fairness, and discretion, are just describing wisdom. When you get to wisdom, these things are there. Just like it's true that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Meaning that the whole fruit of the Spirit is love. But love is described by joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, self-control. All these things dwell in love. And that's why Jesus could say, the first and great commandment is love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And like unto this, love your neighbor as yourself. And so in these two things, all the law and prophets are fulfilled. And so we don't say the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, and so forth. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the rest of these words describe love. And if you go through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is kind, love is gentle, you can actually correlate those words to the fruit of the Spirit words. It's an exciting study to do that. It's great. Well, here we see, okay, wisdom is got justice in it. It's got judgment in it. It's got a sense of fairness in it. And it has discretion in it, to be discreet. Now, to bring this down to the bottom shelf, praise God, we can talk about here, and I want to get to the scripture here. It's 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 16, where Solomon is displaying his wisdom. Solomon, as we mentioned before, is the wisest man that ever lived. So what does that look like? What does that look like? Well, it's fair. It's just. It brings proper judgment. It's full of discretion. Solomon had a rough case that he had to decide on. And if you've never read this in 1 Kings 3, you're going to have a hard time thinking, what in the world is Solomon going to do? But if you've already read it, you already know, and that's no fair. Because what we want to do here is just show how awesome wisdom is. Solomon actually had in his kingdom a couple of harlots that both had babies. And at night, one of them rolled over on her baby and suffocated her baby. So she woke up and saw her baby was dead. So she switched the babies during the night. So when the other girl woke up in the morning, she had a dead baby with her, but she knew it wasn't her baby. But she sees the other girl with the live baby, which is her baby. And so you can imagine the cat fight that took place after that, because the other one wanted to keep the live baby. And so they marched off to King Solomon to see a decision from him on who should get the baby. So like I said before, if you've never read this, then you just go, what in the world is he going to do? But he was a man of wisdom. He was a man of that which comes from God. God blessed him and gave him wisdom. And so he said, bring a sword. And he said, divide the baby in half and give half to the one and half to the other. And one of them said, sure, go ahead and do that. But the other girl said, no, don't kill the baby. Give it to her. And he said, give the baby to the one that said that. Indeed, this is the mother. And everybody goes, whoa, there's some wisdom for you. And it was full of discretion, wasn't it? Being discreet and actually ending the argument peacefully and actually straightening things out with tremendous knowledge and wisdom with understanding. So Solomon was an awfully wise man, and that's the example that's given in the Bible to prove that. And it's wonderful. Now, they asked lots of questions to Jesus when he showed up. And if you remember, they were trying to catch him in his words so that they could accuse him and get him on the cross sooner. And they were just trying to get him in the worst way. So they would ask him all of these hard questions that if he answered one way, Rome would be mad at him. And if he had acted another way, the people would be mad at him. So they're trying to get him between a rock and a hard place. But Jesus, with such great wisdom, and we don't have time to go through all the questions that Jesus got, but he answered question after question with amazing, amazing wisdom. And of course, I love the verse that comes after the last question they ever asked him. And it just, they asked him a hard question. He gave the answer with great wisdom. And then the Bible simply says, and after that, they didn't ask him any more questions. It's just wonderful that God's wisdom is so profound and yet so simple. And you know what? That wisdom is totally available for you. We've already quoted James 1:5. If any one of you lacks wisdom, just ask God. God is the one that has what needs to be done. And I always love the testimony of Jerry Jackson, and I share it from time to time. He's the wonderful man that's in the prayer room with his wife Shirley at the end of each service on Sunday morning. And he used to be an engineer that actually was part of designing the first space shuttle. And he was a group of engineers that were in charge of the wires. They had a problem because it would be fine if there was no space they had to account for in the wiring of the space shuttle, the space where the pilot is and the co-pilot and the crew members. And it became a problem for this engineering group. And they were kind of baffled over that. When Jerry went home and prayed and asked the Lord, smart thing to do. And the Lord just gave him a very profound, very simple answer to that and came back to the group of engineers, and they were able to set that dude up, and it flew real good, didn't it? And the Lord's good. It doesn't matter what kind of work you're in. It doesn't matter what kind of thing you need wisdom about. God is there, and he has promised wisdom for you. And there's a beautiful verse that Psalm 1 says that if you will meditate on the word of God day and night, that you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and your leaf shall not wither. And in whatever you do, you will prosper. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have $1,000 bills hanging out your back pocket, or it might mean that, and that's great. Let's do that. But it means, of course, wholly or more excitingly, that you'll be good at whatever you do. You'll be good at whatever you do. Whatever you do it heartily as unto the Lord. And that's what we actually come up with back in Proverbs 1. Let's go back to Proverbs 1 and read verse 5. Now it says in Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. It's really good if you're a person that can really listen to the Word of God and really hear and receive instruction. There's another proverb says that a fool is one that just does not want to hear instruction, kind of a know-it-all. And does anybody know a know-it-all or ever met a know-it-all? Maybe it's yourself, you know, you got to kind of work on that, where you know exactly how tall the Empire State Building is, and even though you don't. And you know exactly, what year the 327 came out for the Chevy. You know all these things, and it's amazing how much you know, and people just marvel, but actually they're thinking, right, I better go look that one up. You know? But if I'm ready to learn and just increase learning, that is a great place to be. A wise man does that. In fact, as the scriptures say later in the book of Proverbs, a fool that does not want to receive instruction is like a cow. He's brutish. So, and I don't want to be like that. God help me with that, you know. But I want to learn. I want to hear. I want to grow in the things that God would bring. So a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. Let me put that in modern English. To be able to do wisdom-filled jobs of all kinds. To have wisdom in your actual job can come from the Lord, as I just mentioned about the space shuttle wiring. Let's get an example of this in the Old Testament first, Exodus chapter 35, verse 30. So keep your hand in Proverbs 1 and go to the second book of the Bible, and that's Exodus chapter 35, verse 30. Now, this is the first church. I always call it that. It's a tabernacle. It's God told them to build a tent in the middle of the wilderness to worship the Lord in, which eventually would become the temple of God. And there were many people that worked on it, just like there's many people in a church that work together to pull off this picnic thing, you know, with the bands and all, with all kinds of different talents and blessings. And, of course, all kinds of things that we do for our work, that God gives us our work to do. And this man happened to be an ace craftsman. So this is for all of you carpenters out there, or stone cutters, or masons, or those that build walls, lay block. Laying block has got to be a hard job. I mean, think how heavy those blocks are, for one thing. And then think about how straight you need to get them. You ever try to make something straight? With stuff in between that slides? Got to be a hard job. But let's read this. Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezaleel. Imagine having your name in the Bible, old Bezaleel. Wonder if he perks up every time somebody reads his name in the Bible. Who knows? Anyway, probably not. He's worshiping Jesus. He doesn't have time for that. But Bezaleel is in the Bible, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, and the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, and in knowledge, in all manners of workmanship. So there's our three words for our simple definition. First you have knowledge, then you have the understanding that only comes from God, and then you arrive at wisdom. There it is. And so this man was filled with these things by God. For what reason? Verse 32, to devise cunning works, curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in the cutting of stones, to set them and in carvings of wood, there's the carpenter, to make all manner of cunning works. And so here we see in this profession that this man had, he was anointed by God. He was filled with God's Spirit in wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And you can pray that about your job. Lord, I'm going to work today. You know how hard it is sometimes to get along with my boss. And I really want to do a good job and maintain an even strain and stay on an even keel and have the balances in my life to be a good worker and a good witness. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, fill me with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Anoint me, God, to do what I do. And whatever I do it heartily as unto the Lord. And so, what a great prayer. Now, there's also an example of another job in the New Testament. So I want to give you that. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. Yeah, I know, we're turning to a lot of scriptures, but you know, it's really good for us because we learn the Bible this way. Acts chapter 6 and verses 2 and 3. Now, what happened here is in Jerusalem, the Grecian widows were upset because the people in Jerusalem were treating the Hebrew widows better in the daily ministration as they were taking care of the widows. And so there was a little argument that arose there, and it was brought to the apostles, the 12 apostles. And the 12 apostles said this, they called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. They were called to teach the word of God. They were very busy with that. There were 10,000 new believers. Can't even imagine that in your church. There's churches like that where you need to be mindful of caring and being ready to serve, you know, all of these people. And so it was too much for the apostles to take the job also of serving tables. Now, in our society, if you start at the bottom, it could be in the mail room, or it could be as a dishwasher, to eventually become a busboy, to eventually become then a waiter. And waiters make pretty good money, but you got to work yourself up. And so we see this job description that in a worldly sense is it would be down there, just serve tables. But it goes on to say in verse 3, therefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. A requirement to serve tables, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And that's what I have here in my translation. You might have a different translation, means the same thing. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business. So what is God saying here? He's saying, you know what? Serving tables is important to me. Serving tables is a job that needs to get done as well as anything else. And so here we see the wisdom of Almighty God. With all you're getting, get wisdom. Wisdom is the top dog. And that I need to get that to serve tables. And they were looking for people that had wisdom. And now you see God sees things differently than men do. I remember my first ministry in the church was putting together songbooks. And I remember how good it felt. I'm the songbook putter together. I mean, I just felt the presence and the sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ to just do that task for Him. And it's a mighty thing for any small task. And these things are acceptable, Peter tells us, to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us. We are important to Him. Our work is important to Him. And so we see this wonderful truth. We need to have wisdom for everything and anything we do. And it's a marvelous thing just in asking the Lord. Now with that, we want to go back to, I hope your hand is still in Proverbs 1. We just have two more verses here to look at. Proverbs chapter 1. And it says this: to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the bottom dog. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then also from chapter 9, if you want to turn over there, verse 10. Chapter 9, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the top dog. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So you have knowledge there, you have understanding there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Where do you start? You start at the very beginning. You learn to respect God. Father knows best. It's as simple as that. And so I have this respect for him. I have this fear, like a good dad with a large spanker. I have a little sense of fear there. I'm kind of up on my tiptoes when I believe that God's speaking to me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If I'm going there, I'm only getting there with God. The natural man understands not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man actually has the mind of Christ as we ask for that wisdom. It's just heavy things to think about, but so very true. Now, the dark sayings, to understand a proverb and an interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. What's a dark saying? It's simply a parable of Jesus Christ, or any little story or big story that God wants to tell us in the Bible that brings out deep spiritual truth for us. And I'd like to give you instruction about these dark sayings, about these parables from Jesus himself. And that's where we'll end today. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13 in the Gospels. Matthew 13. And verse 10. Verse 10. Matthew 13, 10. Now, this is the famous parable of the sower. Jesus uses an agrarian example to speak spiritual truth. The disciples had to come up and ask him what that parable meant later on. And he said that a sower went forth to sow. A farmer went out to just plant a seed, to throw it in the ground. And some of the seed he threw by the wayside or by the roadside, and the birds came and ate the seed. What is that? The birds of the devil, says Jesus, snatching away the seed, which is the word of God. And some folks, you know, will come to church or approach the Bible in a very fast, unlistening way, and just want the sermon to be over, want to get out of here, I'm hungry, that kind of thing. And that's receiving the seed or the word of God that's being thrown out by the wayside. And the enemy will come and snatch that away, and you won't get anything out of it. And then another way you can receive it is into shallow ground. There's folks that are just real shallow, like Groovy Man. I don't know, I can't think of anything else to say right now. But they're just shallow, you know, Hollywood types, whatever. You know, and we can't say all Hollywood types are shallow, but a shallow person will receive the word of God into very shallow ground in their hearts. And right away, things will spring up because there's no depth of earth for roots to go down. But without the roots, it won't stay. And so the sun comes out and it just bakes everything away. And Jesus then interprets that for the disciples, and he tells them. He says it's like a person actually receives the word with joy. It springs up right away in their lives. But because of persecution or affliction for the gospel's sake, it's gone. They just say, you know what? I became a Christian, but I did not sign up for this. And so I'm out of here. And that can happen to some folks that receive the word, you see, in the wrong place in their hearts. Pastor Chuck, in this last pastor's conference, was such a blessing to me in this way, is that he said, boys, or he calls us fellows, he says, fellows, you love the ministry, you've stayed with the ministry, and I know how it is. He says, I can't believe how many people hate me sometimes, and yet you stay. And I was so glad he said that, because through the years, I've been shocked with folks that have really, you know, taken offense at me. I don't get it. But then they hated Jesus, and he was really good. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't Jesus really, really good? Oh, yeah. And what'd they do? They killed him. So sometimes people just won't like you. And Chuck is a deep feeling man, and he shared it from his heart, you know. He doesn't get it. He just wants to love folks, you know. And so that ministered to me too. But see, sometimes we're tempted to just say, you know what, I am out of here. I've had enough of this abuse and I'm gone, you know, kind of thing. And that can happen to any of us in any job. I just had a dear girl come up after last service that she manages a pizza parlor, and she's just feeling all of these vibes and this heaviness from the employees. Well, she's in charge. You know, what do you want? You know, the minute you get in charge, nobody likes you. So anyway, you know, it's just common to man. But the thing is that we have to go through that and accept God's blessing and God's help to get through that. So we don't leave the Lord when persecution or affliction for righteousness' sake comes. We stay with him. Now, the third thing is the seed, or the word that falls among thorns, and these are the cares of this world, or the thorns and the weeds that want to choke out the word, and the deceitfulness of riches. Money, Lord, I love you, but give me money. And, you know, and then money becomes the idol, right? So that chokes out the word of God. We don't want our seed to fall there, is the word of God. And then the fourth and final place, praise the Lord, is the good ground. And it takes deep root, and it brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And you become a fruitful vine in the economy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the branches from the vine of Jesus. And so those are the things that need to be said. Well, the disciples were puzzled about the whole thing, because they were thinking, Lord, why didn't you just say what you mean and not give us this dark saying, this parable that we have to figure out, that the seed is the word and the birds are the devil and that kind of stuff? And Jesus answers them. And this is helpful then for us. And let's go ahead and read about this. Verse 10, Matthew 13. Disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to the people in parables? Dark sayings, these stories, why do you do that? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Why? The reason's coming. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he that has, he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even what he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, dark sayings, because they see, they see not, seeing, they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and you shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be, and here's the big key word, converted. You gotta get saved. You gotta get converted to understand Jesus Christ. That's what he'll be saying to every non-believer by the Holy Spirit: accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you will understand. Then you will come into great wisdom, because God is the only one in the universe that has wisdom. There is no wisdom, there is no counsel against the Lord. And then he says, but blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your eyes. Every believer out there, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And so his explanation is simply this: I got to get them saved before they're going to understand me. And so I speak in parables. I speak in dark sayings that I might be recognized then as God. And that they can come to me and ask me for wisdom, and I will impart it, and I will give it. And those that perceive and understand that the dark sayings, the parables of Jesus Christ, are filled with the wisdom of God. And that is the end of the line. And that's where we want to go. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, we want to go there. Yes. And for eternity eventually. So let's go ahead and pray together, and then we'll have the band come out. So, Father, we thank you so much, Lord God, that you have the ability to give us what we need, to instruct us that we'll be coming to an understanding and arriving at wisdom. Lord, we want to be wise, men and women. We want to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, using that discretion, being discreet, Lord, weighing matters correctly, being fair in our judgments, having justice, as we know about our nation, for one for all, justice. Thank you so much, Lord. And so, Father, we just ask that you would help us with these things. Father, we really want you to baptize us afresh with your Spirit, Lord, as we go to our jobs on Monday morning, that we would go with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding upon our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Prayer room's being open right now. If you don't know Jesus yet, we sure want to invite you to come to know him. It's brothers and sisters that can pray for you today to receive the Lord. Start your walk with him, to begin to understand and to begin to just walk in the way that God wants to bring you abundant living in him. That faith, that deep abiding faith that gets you through anything you might face. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.